Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us have probably heard the expression, seeing is believing. That's an expression that's often used by people who are skeptical of something. They have to see something for themselves before they will acknowledge that it is true. Sometimes people use that same phrase to challenge our Christian faith. Seeing is believing. In other words, they mean that if I can't see it, then I won't believe it. Maybe you've also heard the opposite or the inverse of this phrase. Believing is seeing, which really describes the way that it is for God's faithful people who are heirs of God's promises. It's only through the eyes of faith that anyone can really see the truths of God and of all the things that he has promised to us. We can change both of these expressions slightly to apply them to our relationship with God. As we examine ourselves today, examine our hearts and our lives, and take stock of our lives measured up against the standard of God's law, we can paraphrase what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham by saying instead, believing is living. First and foremost, as we listen to the Apostle Paul and follow the outline of his logic that really began before our reading in Romans chapter 3, we can see that it's only through faith, only through believing in God and trusting in his promises, that anyone can have real life, eternal life with God. All the way back from Old Testament times up until today, people have been confused about how to make themselves right with God or how to make themselves acceptable in God's sight. Many people feel that if they're simply just nice enough to others, or if they try not to be too bad in their lives, or simply to follow all the rules about morality and clean living, then in some kind of final accounting, they will end up being acceptable to God. But that kind of thinking only leads to really a false sense of security and comfort. If you have to follow that kind of thinking, you can never be really sure that you have been quite good enough to meet God's standard. You can never really be sure if you are right with God, if you are acceptable in God's sight. The Apostle Paul makes it clear how faulty that kind of thinking really is when he says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul tells us that there is absolutely no possibility whatsoever of anyone following God's law closely enough or living correctly enough to meet the standard that God has set, because God is perfect and he demands perfection for anyone who would live in his presence. Not even Abraham, the forefather of God's chosen people of Israel, could live that way in perfection. Paul states that even Abraham had nothing to boast about or brag about before God. He says that in verse 2 of our reading. Now, did Abraham try to follow God's laws and commands? Yes, he did. Was Abraham a very pious and devout man? Yes, he was. Did Abraham show compassion and love and care for others? Yes. So was it all of those fine qualities and his exemplary life that allowed Abraham to claim those promises of God for himself? Was it through his obedience and his good living that Abraham could be assured that he would live eternally with God, without worry or without pain, because of all that he did in his daily life? No. The Apostle Paul makes that point again and again so that no one would misunderstand him. Listen carefully to hear what the Holy Spirit tells us about how we really gain eternal life, real life, in verses from our reading. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. To the person who believes in the God who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness. The promise was not given to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness that is by faith. Real life, life with God as his acceptable children, is possible only through faith in God. And Abraham is an excellent example of that for us. It was his faith, his trust in God's promises, including and especially God's promise about the coming Messiah, the Savior who would pay for the sins of the whole world and bring life to the people of the whole world. It was that faith that led to Abraham's righteousness. In other words, righteousness or perfection before God, which brings with it real life, was granted and credited to Abraham only through believing in God. But don't make the mistake of thinking that only Abraham had that kind of strong, believing faith that led to his righteousness and his life with God. The same is true for each and every one of us who has been brought to faith in Jesus as our Savior by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts through the gospel that was shared with us or that was given to us in our baptism. We become acceptable to our Heavenly Father, and we receive life from him in exactly the same way as our father Abraham did. We receive righteousness from God only through faith in the Messiah who came, Jesus. Believing in Jesus who died on the cross for us and who rose again to new life, that is what makes us children of God and heirs of our forefather Abraham. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are heirs of Abraham through faith in Jesus. We receive the same promise that our forefather in faith did. We can actually know for sure that in the sight of God, we are righteous. As with our forefather Abraham, our righteousness in no way stems from our own goodness or the works that we perform in our lives. We have no more to brag about before God than Abraham did. The Apostle Paul's statement that all have sinned applies to us too. We also fall short of the mark of God, the standard for godly living that God himself has set. Regardless of whatever our level of personal piety might be, regardless of our church attendance record or our offerings or the good works that we do in our lives, we deserve nothing from God but death, eternal punishment. We cannot hope for eternal life at all based on our own good works. And yet the rest of Paul's message to us is that we are justified or saved. We are counted as righteous people before God. Only by God's grace, through the redemption that came to us through Jesus, through his atonement for our sins. Righteousness comes from God to us through faith in Jesus. The promise of God that we will have eternal life with him in heaven after this life is over comes to us by faith. It's a free gift from God to us. And as the Apostle Paul tells us in our reading, it is guaranteed to all of Abraham's descendants. Not descendants according to the flesh, not people of Jewish heritage, but to Abraham's descendants of faith. At this time of year, in this season of Lent, as we are led to remember again the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus, our Savior, for us. And as we also at the same time carefully examine our hearts and our lives, we know that deep down we won't find anything within us except sin or works that have all been tainted by sin. We know it when we disagree with others and When those disagreements escalate into arguments, and when our tongues do not express words of God's love, we know it when we don't love others as God wants us to, when we don't show others the respect that God wants us to. Even when we find nothing in ourselves but sin, even when we realize that by ourselves we have no chance for life with God based on our own good works, that we are in no way righteous by ourselves in God's sight. But the wonderful saving gospel message, the good news of God's love for us through Jesus, comes crashing through our seeing is believing mentality to show us that instead believing is living. It's then that we can take comfort in the fact that God has made us righteous through Jesus. And our spirit-created faith receives that righteousness of Jesus as our own, so that we are now assured of real life with God forever. So what a wonderful example of faith Abraham, our forefather in faith, is for us. And he can also serve as a further example for us too. In today's first lesson, we see a part of the history of God's call to Abraham and how Abraham initially answered that call. If you look closely at the details in the first lesson, you can draw really many comparisons with today. What Abraham did at that time would be just as big of a step for any one of us today if God had called us to the same kind of action. God came to Abraham without any warning and simply told him to pack up and leave. Leave his hometown, leave all of his relatives, leave his own people, and begin a trip to an unknown country that God would only tell him about later on. Then the Lord promised Abraham that as he went on that journey into the vast unknown, whatever lay before him, God would bless him. God would make his name great. It's difficult for people just to pick up and leave a place where their roots are, where their family is, to leave behind friends and family and job and security and country and everything you're familiar with. But Abraham apparently didn't pester God with all kinds of doubts or questions or fears. He simply left as the Lord had told him, our first lesson tells us. And what's even more amazing is that Abraham was already 75 years old at that time. And when he arrived finally at his destination, the place where God told him to go, he discovered that although God had promised to give the land to him, there was really no place for him to settle down and to claim as his own, because the land was totally populated by another people group. And yet when he finally arrived, even under those circumstances, what did he do? He built an altar to the Lord and proclaimed the name of the Lord. That action of Abraham can give us a further example today. We already know that it wasn't Abraham's works or his own personal righteousness that led to his being given the gift of life. Rather, it was his believing, his trust in God's promise. Trust that itself was a gift of God to Abraham. It was that trust, that faith, that God counted as righteousness. Whenever we read about Abraham in the Bible, we find that believing led him in his daily life also. Believing is real life with God. It's also living each and every day as one of God's chosen people. Through faith in God and in God's goodness to us. Through trust in all of the promises that God has made to us. Promises of forgiveness, promises of eternal life. All of that based on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And we also can live in the same way. God led Abraham into faith. God sent Abraham into a new land with new people and with new responsibilities. God does the same thing for us. He leads us into faith. And he regards us as his righteous children, all for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. So as we examine ourselves and our lives and our hearts during this Lenten season, we already know that we're going to fall short of God's standard. But we also already know that because of Jesus, we are forgiven. However, we should never make the mistake of using our faith as an excuse for falling short of God. Precisely because we have been made new people, precisely because we have been called to faith by God, because we are the offspring of Abraham by faith, because we have the promise of real life forever with God, our lives are now changed forever. The grace that God has given to us doesn't come to us through continuing and in living our sinful lives. Just as Abraham had left the old things behind him when God called him to a new way of life, old friends, an old way of life, we also are to put those old things behind us that aren't from God and that aren't according to God's will. We're to leave behind the old ways of sin and to move forward into a new land of light in which, just like Abraham, we build altars, we praise and worship God and thank him and proclaim his name among the people around us. Throughout the Bible, we find example after example of believing children of God who live new lives each day. In our gospel reading today, we see the example of a woman who had previously been trapped in a sinful pattern and who was losing to death. She was offered real life by Jesus. And we're told that through her testimony, as she came to see Jesus as the Savior, as Jesus reached out to her graciously and called her to faith in him, then she went and told other people of her village. And they also came to see and hear Jesus teach and speak. And so through her testimony, many other people came to learn about Jesus as their Savior and believed in him. Through that word of Jesus that they heard, the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts to create faith in Jesus. And through that faith, the righteousness of Jesus was credited to them as their own righteousness in the sight of God. Their faith in Jesus led them to live different lives each day too. In the same way, each day of our lives reflects the new life that we have received as we strive to please God who has made us his own. What a wonderful message we have today from the Apostle Paul. At a time when we really need to hear how God came to his people, and how people can come to God. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, steps into our everyday lives and shows us how to live for God. Now, he doesn't give us step-by-step formulas to follow or instructions on how to be pious or how to make it through otherwise unbearable days. But rather, he confronts us with a message that tells us how we receive life, true life, from God. He shows us what it can mean to have life and to have it abundantly as God wants to give it to us. He shares with us that we receive real, lasting life with our Heavenly Father. And as a result, we receive all of the blessings that God has promised to us. We believe God. We believe who he is and what he says he has done for us. We believe that God has sent his own Son to save us. We believe that he loves us. We believe that he gives life, even to those who are spiritually dead. And he makes us into what he wants us to be, makes us children of our forefather Abraham by faith. He makes us heirs of all the promises that he has made to his people. What a wonderful message. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. For this reason, the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's descendants, not only to the one who is a descendant by law, but also to the one who has the faith of Abraham. Thank God for his gracious gift of faith. Amen.